This afternoon, for the end of our series on great mothers of the Bible or righteous women of God who are mothers in the Bible, we'll be talking about Elizabeth. And obviously, we've mentioned some other individuals such as Lois and Eunice, and we mentioned Mary for the New Testament, and there's perhaps much more we could talk about. But Elizabeth, again, we're going to finish off here and concluding this series. And there's not a ton of information across as far as the entire gospel accounts that we know about her. But during the beginning of the gospel account there in Luke, we can learn quite a bit of information on her, at least how it was in being a mother to John the Baptizer. As we know, John would be really like a relative of Jesus, and Elizabeth was a relative of Mary. And so Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 is where we're going to be focusing for this afternoon. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Read that there with me, if you will. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years." From this little bit of information, we can obviously learn that Zacharias and Elizabeth were two righteous children of God. They were two people who probably wanted to have a child, but, you know, maybe like others that we've talked about in this series. However, they couldn't, because Elizabeth was obviously barren, whether that was because she was advanced in years or another reason alongside that. Really, the only information we have as far as that goes is she's barren and advanced in years. Yet, she would have a child also, like Mary, by a miracle of God. Her husband Zacharias, as we learn starting in verse 8, he was indeed a priest. There also in verse 5 we learn. But Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, was a priest and also a righteous man, obviously. But because of his trouble with doubting in God, God would teach him a lesson that he needed to learn. Start there in verse 8 with me, if you will. "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude," verse 10, "of the people was praying outside the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long inside the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless." Verse 23, finally, "So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house." So God obviously teaching him a lesson here. He would get the ability to speak once again, but at this time he is currently a mute. Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, would conceive some days after this event just happened. That is, after Zacharias' priestly service was completed and she hid herself for 5 months, apparently. Luke chapter 1, 24 through 25. "Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me, in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. It's really not known why Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months in totality. People speculate about it. It could be that she did so to conceal her condition. It could be that she did so personally to give praise to the Lord, as in verse 25. It is most likely the case that she did so to give praise to the Lord. She did so to give devotion to the Lord. And so she was dedicating herself. She was praying to God in private. That's most likely what's going on here. Yet another example of a woman putting her faith in God in trying or important times such as this. And so, like Hannah, like we talked about, she went off in private and she prayed to God. That could be exactly what's going on here as well. Luke chapter 1 and verse 39 now. Luke 1 and verse 39. What's interesting is you have obviously some communication between Mary and Elizabeth that happens through the account. Start there in verse 39 with me. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Mary. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Obviously, you have a lot more traits being shown here by both Mary and also Elizabeth. Elizabeth would have fellowship with God to be able to have inspiration by the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit would actually tell her what to say here to Mary, and obviously give her understanding of what just happened, because it is indeed a miracle that John the Baptizer leaped in the womb at the voice of Mary, mother of Jesus, just as excited in the womb about Jesus as he was in life. We know John to be the guy out in the wilderness who was, you know, eating bugs, and he was dirty, you know, he was the preacher out in the wilderness. But he's just as excited up here as he was about Jesus in the future. He's not a crazy man, as perhaps some Jews would refer to him as. He was a man who was there to prepare everybody for Jesus Christ. And so when he was growing up in a preacher, just as excited. Elizabeth, obviously, was a very good relative to Mary. Obviously a righteous woman, because she was able to do this, because God was able to affiliate with her in this way. And Mary, she has a lot of good things to say about Mary, and how Mary's faith obviously was, how Mary believed, and the fulfillment is going to happen of the things that God promised. There's a lot here that gives pronouncement to these two women. These two women of God, as we've been going through this text, and that's the purpose of this series, is to talk about them in a personal way, or a character trait kind of way, to describe how great of women of God they are. Their belief, their faith in God, their strength that they had by believing in God, all these things that we're really trying to get at and understand here. Luke chapter 1, verse 56. Let's read that together. Continuing now. After the song of Mary, Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So Mary spent a long time with Elizabeth. Elizabeth must have been a very pleasant person to be around. Perhaps like Ruth, perhaps like Naomi, she was a pleasant person, and she just wanted to stay alongside her. You'd think that staying with your relatives for 3 months would be quite a long time. I think it'd be quite a long time myself. But nonetheless, Mary wants to stay with them for that long, Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so, and remember, all this time, Zacharias is currently mute. And so when Elizabeth returns to that house, whenever she does, Mary visits her, and Mary praises God after this prophecy that, or this word that Elizabeth gives, and of course Mary remains 3 months and then returned to her house. So they must have both been godly, righteous women. This shows you also some fellowship, how godly people should want to be around each other and encourage each other. That's another note that we need to make about this, another side lesson. 3 months is quite a bit of time. This is indeed 3 months, even to our calendar. They wanted to stay together that long, where we today would want to give like 1 day to each other. So just another lesson we need to think about. for us as children of God being a family. Elizabeth and her neighbors and relatives also would give glory to God upon the birth of the child by Elizabeth. Luke 1, 57 through 58. Again, verse 57. Let's read it there. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so Elizabeth, alongside these people, were rejoicing. They were not praising themselves again like Mary didn't. They were praising God. They were giving all the trust and the glory to God Himself only. Elizabeth and Zacharias, they also did not dispute about the name of the child eventually, as the others do, wanting it to be named after genealogy. Perhaps Zacharias maybe thought of that a little bit, but that's not clear. Elizabeth and Zacharias, they really did submit to God in calling his name John, as Gabriel, the angel of God, instructed in verse 13 of chapter 1 of Luke. Let's read verses 59 through 66 to get some more context and understanding. Verse 59. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. Yet again, you have two righteous people following the law of God, being a good example. Verse 60. His mother answered and said, No, he shall be called John. But they said to her, There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called, because he's still mute. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. All those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, What kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So as Gabriel instructed, again, Luke chapter 1 and verse 13, to call him John, that's exactly what's done here. Elizabeth and Zachariah, they submit. So they call him John. Obviously, they're caring about laws of God according to the Old Testament at this time, as they should. And so they're righteous people. And Zacharias is even granted his ability to speak back because he was not angry at God. He didn't hold grudges. He didn't put up a fight against God. He didn't say, God, how dare you? How dare you make me a mute? You know, some people look at that passage and they say, well, God's a little ruthless there. We don't know exactly what Zacharias' thinking process was whenever he was talking to the angel in the way he was. Obviously, God in his omniscience understood that Zacharias was being unfaithful, that he was not believing in God as he should, or in God's ability. And so obviously the opposites of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 would be the case, that Zacharias was not believing in God in that way whatsoever. So we don't know again exactly what his thought process was, but right here, God knows in his heart that he is being proper once again. And now he's, instead of holding grudges against God for making him a mute, he praises God, and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit even to say these next words, and starting in verse 67. We'll just read that real quickly. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. First note I'd make about this is, yes, Zacharias is praising God again. He's not holding grudges. But also, you've now had a mother and a father that God has dealt with in this way of actually allowing them to have inspiration of the Holy Spirit, where they can actually have talking by the Holy Spirit Himself, and they can understand what they need to say in prophecy and in, you know, just will of God. That is an amazing privilege that people in prior times to this, back in Bible times, had. And that's what Zacharias and Elizabeth get to partake of. Because, again, they trust in God, they dedicate themselves to God in proper worship according to the law at the time, and they give all praise to God. Now, there may have been mistakes by Elizabeth, probably not Elizabeth, but most certainly Zacharias, as everyone makes along the way as parents, and maybe you know that it was a lot to take in. You know, there may be a number of reasons why Zacharias had that happen. However, parents should no longer aim to make those same mistakes. One thing that parents might get in that might be a trend with some parents is saying I'm sorry to the child, but doing nothing to change their ways. So changing the practices and the behaviors as a parent should, as a Christian should, as a follower of Christ should, whenever they say I'm sorry, whenever they repent or whatever, because we all make mistakes and we have to admit that. But then they don't change anything. What does that teach the child? That teaches the child to hate the parents. That teaches that all that does is just bring animosity in the family. That just teaches that this parent can never make a mistake. And therefore, likewise, I apparently, whenever I grow up, can never make a mistake. So there's a lot of things that just go wrong whenever, again, a parent doesn't humble themselves and chooses to make the same mistakes over and over again and just say sorry and try to get away with it. Again, there's no fruits worthy of repentance being bared. But because Elizabeth and Zechariah, they chose to learn, they chose to trust and submit themselves to God again, they tried to further themselves in righteousness, they didn't fall back in the faith again like Zacharias did, therefore they became great examples as righteous parents to John the Baptizer, their son. I want you to think for a moment how whenever you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, as we've already mentioned, I believe it's the first lesson of the series, Ephesians chapter 6, how it not only gives instruction to children to obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right, God's instruction to children, human children, then it also says, obviously there in verse 4, after the honor of your father and mother, may be well to live on the earth, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Parents have a responsibility, like Mary did, like Joseph did, like Zacharias did, like Elizabeth did, to bring up children who don't know any better in the training of the Lord, in the practices of the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents have that responsibility. This is instruction given to children to listen to parents by God, because your parents are going to lead you in the way that is right through Christ. That's why that's given. It's not because I want to be a parent and order my child around like a slave. It's to teach them in the way that is right. And also, again, that privilege is given to parents, and it's a gift to have children, as one of the Psalms we're going to read in a moment says. It's a gift to have parents, and parents should treat it like it's a gift, or it's a gift to have children. Parents should treat it like it's a gift to have children. And they should trust in God, submit themselves to God's law, God's behaviors, instead of their own. And instead of just being prideful or haughty, all those different things. And so again, why am I talking about all this? Because it's also important in raising up good children to become Christians one day. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80. Look at the last thing that is said. The last thing that is said about John the Baptizer here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 80 here. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Why did he grow and become strong in the spirit? In spirit. Why did he grow like that? Why did he eventually become the John the Baptizer that we all know and love in the gospel account? Because he had great parental examples like Elizabeth and Zacharias. Again, they made their mistakes, but they corrected them. That's the key that we're trying to see here. They corrected the mistakes. They practiced something else different than what they practiced before. Their lifestyle became something else different than what it was before. And that's exactly what Christ calls us to do as people who are trying to follow God's will instead of our own. He calls us to do something different again than what we originally intend or what we think is right. He calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to a standard of love, to a standard of faith in God, a standard of following in God's pattern and example and law. Let's go ahead and read that psalm, Psalm 127 and verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says there, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Why did we mention earlier that if somebody doesn't want a child, they shouldn't have one? Because children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. We should treat it like that. We should treat it like it's a reward. If it's just going to cause a problem all the time again, you shouldn't be a parent. I shouldn't be a parent. If I don't want a child, if I want to take care of that child, maybe try to, you know, instead of just throwing it to the curb, throwing that child to the curb if you end up having one anyways, try to do something good for that child in matters of the church. Try to, you know, hand that child over maybe to another Christian, do something proper like that. But again, why am I addressing this? Because some people, they just do not like children. That's fine. Okay. But understand, if you do have a child or if you wanted to at some point, it's a gift. It's not something to be squandered. It's not a joke. It's not something you can just play around with. It's not this is nice for a little bit and then I'm done. No. It's a lifelong commitment, really, to have a child until you pass away. You'll always have that child. They'll always be your child. And so you always need to be an example, and you always have that responsibility as a parent to teach them properly and at least example properly before them, whether or not they choose to follow God. So hopefully this lesson and all the ones that we've talked about have served well in showing how a woman of God can become and practice being a godly mother. Certainly there are many different women of God who are mothers in the Bible, many who are great women of God. On the contrary, however, there were some women of God who eventually turned into apostates. And there may be some you can think of back in the Old Testament scriptures, maybe some in the New Testament scriptures. However, whether or not they were a mother, they were a woman of God at some point. But it's a constant practice and a growth of being a godly person. Likewise, it's a constant practice and a growth of studying the Word of God and practicing it in being a godly parent. The closer you put your family and the closer you put yourself to God in reading and studying the Word of God will put your family all the closer. But if you choose to distance yourself and further yourself from the gospel and from the Word of God, the farther you get and the closer you get to Satan, the closer you get to sin and the lust of it. Putting our trust and confidence in God in conclusion of this lesson and letting Him guide our life as a father or as a mother, as a husband or a wife, or it's just an individual person, there's nothing wrong with being single, is the strongest, most powerful thing you can do as a human being. Put your trust, your faith, your confidence, and your lifestyle in God. Certainly, this series on great righteous mothers of the Bible has shown to do that and the rewards of doing it. Do you trust God today? Do you trust God like the women that we've talked about? It's not enough that we talk about the great women of the Bible. And that's why I've dedicated such a little bit lengthier series to talk about these things. And it could be even lengthier. Because there are so many great women of God, and there's so many good things that women do in the Bible just alongside man. Just alongside men. God has no prejudice and no partiality against men nor women, as He instructs there in the Gospel. Nor slave, nor free, nor Scythian, nor Parthian, nor male, nor female. God shows no partiality. All in all, in Christ. There are so many opportunities that women have today, even. Women of God have today to even show forth the gospel and carry out the gospel, just like even Aquila and Priscilla did. They're even in helping Apollos, who was going to learn about Jesus Christ. And we talked about him in our class as well. And so, brethren, the invitation is available for anyone who may have need of it. If you have a sin in your life again, anything amiss with God today, I encourage you And we all encourage you as the church, please do allow us to pray with you and get that right with God today. Don't leave this place with something amiss in your life and something to separate you in relationship before your God and between you and your God. If you're not a Christian, you must believe Jesus is the Christ. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus is the Christ before men. Be baptized that you may be remiss of sins and added to the church, as Acts 2 says there. And remain faithful unto death that you may receive the gift of heaven. If you're willing and ready to do all those things, the invitation is always available to you. Please do let us know in some shape or form. Call us, anything, any, some form of contact if you're watching online here today. For those who are here, all of us are Christian. Remember to put your trust and your faith and confidence in God. Remember to have boldness in God. Don't let fear, terror, fear control you. As we talked about even in a prior lesson before this, choose to have confidence in God, such as so many did in the Scriptures. So many great women of God even did in the Scriptures. If you have any need today, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.
Come to Jesus.